Support for this program is provided by Chevron.
I'm Anthony Adragna. This is Politico Energy.
Thank you, Madam President. I am a strong supporter of carbon capture, utilization, and sequestration, which is otherwise known as CCUS.
In the effort to fight climate change, many people have looked at ways to turn our highly polluting industries, like energy and transportation, into clean, net-zero emission sectors. But during that time when the technology on electric vehicles and solar panels has boomed, some scientists have also come up with a different idea. What if we could somehow grab the carbon that these industries are already putting out there and maybe put it away, somewhere that it doesn't harm the environment? Like, what if you could somehow add a filter to the top of a smoke chimney and have the air that comes out be completely carbon-free, because you're burying it, the carbon that is, underground? That, in a very, very broad stroke, is carbon capture and sequestration. And since the Senate included billions of dollars for this technology in their big infrastructure package,
which would support wide-scale CCUS deployment,
today we're talking to Ben LaFabe about the case for and against carbon capture. It's Thursday, August 12th. People oftentimes describe this as an innovative or disruptive or unproven technology, but it's actually been around for quite a while. Walk us through the history and what exactly this technology entails.
Yeah, it's been around for decades. You funnel your smokestack emissions through like the machinery and trap the pollutants. And the way it works now is you pipe it through a pipeline to a destination that's usually some sort of salt cavern, and you store it underground. There's currently around, I think, 40 operating carbon capture projects. So it's not fringe. So we can talk about this Petranova project if you want.
Yeah, tell us about that project and what went wrong, what went right.
So Petranova is a coal power plant outside of Houston. And what they did is, I think starting in 2017, they started a kind of a miniature carbon capture project.
In this process, we take flue gas from the power plant. We run it through a very large vessel where a solvent called amine captures the carbon dioxide.
It was a pilot project, and the carbon they captured out of there was piped to a oil field.
The carbon capture part of the Petranova project takes CO2-laden flue gas from the power plant and diverts it to a scrubber unit.
But this project overall, it missed by, you know, something like 10%. But if you look through the actual report, the problem was that there was a lot of downtime at this facility. And some of it was for, you know, ironing out the kinks of what was a pilot project. But then they were down for a while because in 2017, Hurricane Harvey hit and they had to shut it down. But by the end of the three-year period, before it was shut down, it was making its targets. What happened was Petranova suspended the project because oil prices crashed amid the COVID pandemic, and it was no longer worth it for them to, you know, like there was nobody buying their carbon dioxide to pump out more oil.
The BIF has entered the chat, Ben. What is this bipartisan infrastructure deal doing in regards to carbon capture and sequestration?
So carbon capture was something that Senator Joe Manchin has been kind of promoting.
Senator from West Virginia.
Madam President, I rise also in support of my colleague's amendment. Climate change is a global issue, and we need to deploy all the climate solutions. That includes coupling the use of our abundant resources with technologies like CCUS.
But then, you know, you also have Senate progressives, Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island, and Ed Markey has been basically supporting carbon capture since the day of the Waxman-Markey bill. So this infrastructure bill, it puts in $12.5 billion for large-scale carbon capture commercialization. It puts another $2.1 billion for carbon capture pipelines. So this is a big bet. I mean, people I talked to, analysts said, this should be enough to kind of show proof of concept and to get these things up and running. Now, the progressive groups that have come out against this technology, they will focus on if it's used for oil recovery out of old wells, it's basically just recycling carbon, but you're still burning it almost. You know, you're basically just letting oil companies have another lease on life. But researchers I talked to are like, well, look, as far as capturing the carbon, the thing that makes it so vital to climate change are like iron and steel works or cement factories.
Why specifically are progressive Democrats like the Sheldon Whitehouses, the Brian Schatzes, the Ed Markeys of the world on board with making these investments in carbon capture even as a lot of the progressive environmental groups are adamantly opposed to it.
You can't discount anything if you want to, you know, remove carbon emissions from our economy. And they'll say there's two fights for reducing emissions. One is to get more and more technology to become zero emission, you know, from the start. But for industries where you don't have that option, those you need something that will basically vacuum the carbon out before it hits the atmosphere.
I guess my overarching question, Ben, is, you know, how much, these are major investments in this technology, how much of a game changer could these be? Or is this kind of a drop in the bucket if we're expecting this to become more commercially available in a broader solution to climate change?
I talked to researchers at MIT, at University of Michigan, a couple other places, and they all think this is necessary, that you're not going to make your climate targets unless you can decarbonize the heavy industries that you can't reach right now with either renewable energy or the carbon capture at today's scale. So they're saying, like, this is really important. They're like, this is going to make carbon capture mainstream. I guess carbon capture is kind of seen as like the bridge technology to reach some of those heavier industries.
Also, on Wednesday, the White House called for the world's oil cartel to ramp up its production to pre-pandemic levels. Last month, the OPEC Plus group agreed to gradually raise its production every month until the end of 2022. After about a year of production cuts that aimed at stabilizing oil prices after the pandemic ravaged fuel demand. But as gas prices in the U.S. surged to prices last seen 7 years ago, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said OPEC Plus's agreement doesn't do enough to address the need for fossil fuels at a critical moment in the global recovery from the pandemic. Sullivan's announcement did not sit well here in the U.S., where both progressive groups and Republicans jumped to attack the administration. On the left, progressives and environmentalists criticized the call to ramp up oil production as an effort to boost the globe's addiction to fossil fuels, just days after a UN report gave the most dire warning yet about the effects of carbon emissions on the environment and the consequences of climate change. And on the right, oil advocacy groups say the plea for OPEC Plus to bolster production underlines the hypocrisy in the administration's agenda, saying Biden is waging a war on domestic oil production while asking other countries to increase their own output. Still, analysts say the oil cartel is unlikely to ramp up production beyond what they have already announced, as the group fears COVID variants could bring up more worldwide lockdowns and hurt oil demand. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. If you want to support our show, the best way to do it is by leaving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. I'm Anthony Adragna. Talk to you again tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Did you know that Chevron supports the ambitions of the Paris Agreement? In fact, they've even tied their executives' compensation to lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations. Because it's only human to help power a brighter future.